Well, have you ever been to a restaurant or a takeaway and been unable to make a choice? You know, when you look at the menu and you just think, what am I going to choose? I had a quick look at Pizza Express's menu in Muswell Hill. I think at the moment there's 24 choices of pizza you can go for. And that's before you think of pasta or anything else. I went to Burger King recently. Apparently there's 17 different sorts of Whopper they now do in different sort of combinations. Choice in the restaurants we go to. But Jesus says there's also a choice. A choice of food. Have a look with me at verse 27. You see, Jesus says there's a food that spoils. And there's a food which endures. I imagine our restaurant would be quite hard to choose. Here, as you read this passage, it becomes obvious which one to go for. We don't want to go for the food that spoils. We want instead to go for the food that endures. Essentially, in this passage, Jesus is going to try and persuade us that this food that endures, which is Jesus himself, is the thing we need more than anything else. So with that in mind, let's dive into our passage. Now we're in John's Gospel. For those of you who've been here for the last few weeks, you'll know that John's Gospel is structured around a series of signs, climaxing with the sign of the resurrection. And the signs are given so that we might believe who Jesus is. That he is the promised King of the Old Testament, the Messiah, and that he is the Son of God. And that by believing in Jesus, we might have life, and life in his name. That's the structure of the book. John's written it. And this chapter, chapter 6 that we're in John's Gospel, has begun with two signs, which we've looked at in the last 2 weeks. Do you remember the sign of the feeding of the 5,000? 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people. What an extraordinary sign how Jesus turned just this small amount of food to feed many. And then we had last week, there's a storm in the boat with the disciples. And what does Jesus do? He walks on the water. Picking up all those Old Testament references to him being God. In other words, he's demonstrating his identity as the Son of God. But at this point in our passage, we're going to pick up what happens after the signs have been given and an explanation of how we are to respond. And first thing, it's worth being honest. This crowd of people, they're not really very interested in spiritual things. Now have a look, verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And what does Jesus say? Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. In other words, they're there because of their tummies, not because of anything spiritual. They've come to eat food, not to meet with Jesus. And Jesus points this out to them. But then he says this to them, verse 27, he says, do not work for food that spoils. In other words, don't live your life for this food that spoils, as in earthly human food, but instead for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the God the Father has placed his seal of approval. You see, these are these choices. They've got the food that spoils or the food that endures. And this gives rise to a number of questions, which we're going to go through. So, first question is, what work must we do to receive the food that endures? So Jesus says, we need to work for this food that endures. The question is, what work is it? And that's the question that the crowd asks, don't they? Verse 28, what must we do the works God requires? To get this food that endures forever, what must we do? And verse 29, Jesus replies, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. What do we need to do to get this food that endures? Believe in Jesus. To the crowd standing there, if you want the food that endures that I'm offering, you need to believe in me. Note what it doesn't say. There's no works needed. There's no good deeds needed. There's no moral behaviour needed. There's no religious behaviour needed. All we need to do is believe in Jesus. See, this food that endures to eternal life, We're going to see exactly what that is as this passage works out. You do not earn. It is a gift that's given to those who believe in Jesus. The food that endures is given by Jesus to all who believe in him. Now, I just want to step back. This is completely contrary to everything our world teaches, isn't it? Everything in our world is generally built on the fact that you do good things, or you perform actions, and you get a reward. Otherwise, the works you do are set out. That works that way in other religions, doesn't it? It's the end of Eid for Muslims last week.
Yeah.
And on Monday, a number were celebrating. I mean, my children both had children off in their class. But if I said to a Muslim, ask them, verse 28, what would they say? If I said to them, what must we do the works God requires? I think they'd probably come back and say, you need to do the five pillars, wouldn't they? I don't think that would be unfair. They'd say you need to sincerely recite the confession of faith, ritual prayers, you know, giving of alms, fasting during Ramadan, and the once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage to Mecca. You see, in Muslim thinking, you earn your way to God. You do some works. But Jesus says, to get this food that endures, we just need to believe in him. It's not just other religions, it's a whole world of thinking. Let's think about our education system. For those of you doing exams at the moment, you'll know, put in the work, and you will get a reward at the end. A good grade, a university place, place in sixth form, place to do the course you want to do. It's just built on that. Jacob, my little son, he's six. His class, this is how it works, essentially. If you behave, do a good piece of work, you get given a marble. Marbles go in the class teacher's jar. When enough children, enough good things, so the jar is full, they get a class treat. How does the system work? You work, do good deeds, you get the reward. See, that's the way our world thinks, isn't it? But even in the church, we can slip back into this mentality. So in a meeting this week, someone said to me, what does someone need to do to become a Christian? I said, all right, it's interesting you've asked that. I'm speaking on a passage in John's Gospel this week, where Jesus is quite clear, all you need to do is believe in him. I remember a clergy in the meeting said, but don't you have to be baptised? And I went, no. No, you don't. Because the thief on the cross, he wasn't baptised, and Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. See, our whole system of world around us is continually saying we need to work by doing good deeds or some sort of moral obligation to get a reward. But Jesus is saying, for this food that endures, all we need to do is believe in him. See, eternal life is given by Jesus. It is not earned. And so if you're here and you're a parent or a grandparent, can I stress it again, particularly with children? We need to keep on stressing the fact that that salvation is given, not earned. When we were on holiday just over half term with my children, and yet another discussion of them thinking they need to earn their way to Jesus. And you want to go, no, all you need to do is believe in Jesus. That is it. What work must we do to receive the food that endures? The food that endures is given by Jesus to all who believe in him. Okay. That's Jesus' first response to the crowd. But then they say, fine. Okay, Jesus, you're saying we need to believe in you. Give us a sign. What sign will be given so that we may believe? Let me read a verse 13. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? So they say, come on, Jesus, you said all we need to do is believe in you for this food to be yours. Come on, give us a sign. And then they get out their Old Testament, and they look back to the Old Testament, remember the events with Moses in the desert. See, when they were in the desert, God gave them food from heaven. Manna. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with the story, let me recap. God's people are there in Egypt. They're slaves. They cry out to God, and God rescues them. Moses is their leader. They come out of Egypt, through the Passover, they go through the Red Sea, and end up in the desert. At this point, they go back into grumble mode, and go, oh, it was better being slaves, because we haven't got any food. And God is very kind, and he gives them food, a part of which is manna, bread that comes from heaven. And that bread gave them life. That was what they lived off. That helped them to survive there in the desert. But what does Jesus say? Verse 32. Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Now they would call themselves disciples of Moses, and to Jesus going, look, it wasn't given by Moses. Given by God, it came from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. In other words, it was a picture of another bread that would come to give life to people. So they say, come on, give us this bread. And Jesus then gives this fantastic statement, doesn't he? Verse 35, I am the bread of life. I am the one who gives life to the world. This food that endures, it is me, says Jesus. It's very easy, isn't it, to talk about faith, to talk about religion. But we need to talk about Jesus, because he is the bread of life. He is the food that endures to eternal life. We need to be those who speak about Jesus. What sign will be given so we may believe? Jesus is the sign, as he is the bread of life. Which then gets on to our last thing. What does the bread of life give? Okay, we've got this food that endures forever. What is it? What's Jesus giving? What's he offering here? And this is verses 35 to 40. I want to suggest it summarised as this. Jesus brings true satisfaction and a certain future. Let me just read again, 35 to 40. Follow along. These are very wonderful truths of what Jesus offers. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. So much to unpack here, but just that first verse. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Just think about hunger and thirst. Remember the last time you were really, really hungry? Or the last time you were really thirsty, and maybe you just haven't eaten for ages and you get home, you just want some food. And then do you think about that feeling you had once you'd eaten? That feeling of satisfaction. Jesus saying, spiritually, I will mean that you are never hungry. Or never thirsty. Spiritually, Jesus is offering true satisfaction that is found in him and nothing else. I was at, again, I say Christians Against Poverty team day on Thursday for centre managers from across London. And as part of the day, we had a little presentation from a lady who's on their evangelist team. She goes around and does presentations to CAP groups. And she does sort of singing, songwriting, and she told her story as what she would do. It was very striking. It was on this very thing. She'd grown up in a Christian home. Her dad had been a pastor, actually. And she'd gone in late in his years and walked away. She said, I don't want anything more to do with Jesus. And she literally had gone off and lived a completely hedonistic lifestyle. She'd done exactly what she wanted to do, very deliberately pushed God out. And she talks about it, it felt good, but it never satisfied. But actually, it just got worse and worse until eventually she hit rock bottom. And she said, I hit rock bottom, and even then I would not go back to God, even though I knew he might have the answers. And then she ended up in an even worse situation. And she said she prayed. She didn't know why she prayed, she just did. And at that moment, God stepped in and did something extraordinary in her life. Because she turned back and realised that he was the one who could truly satisfy. She said, in all the relationships she had, all the drugs she'd used, all the alcohol she'd drunk, all the parties she'd been to, none of it had satisfied. Ultimately, she said, only Jesus can satisfy. See, Jesus is the one who offers life, bread, that means that we'll be never hungry or never thirsty. But it doesn't just stop there, you see. It doesn't just stop with that idea of true satisfaction. It goes on, doesn't it? Verse 37, the confidence that Jesus brings. All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. If you come to Jesus, he will never drive you away. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And what is that will? Verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks up to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. You see, if we come and believe in Jesus, we can have absolute confidence about the future. Not only is Jesus offering true satisfaction now in the way that things of this world cannot offer satisfaction, but he's offering a certain hope for the future of resurrection life. On Friday, I did a big funeral here for St. Peter's. Absolutely packed out. Literally, you could not. Or every chair you can see here, plus more from the hall we're in. The coffin came on a horse-drawn carriage. Elvin Emily basically was just a car park. An extraordinary woman. She went to a Pentecostal church. She also had a fantastic faith in the Lord Jesus. And that came out in the stories. And actually, she spoke. Well, they spoke in tributes to her of how she was a lady who clearly lived a life trusting the promises and being confident of all that God had done for her in Jesus. But following the funeral, we went out to the cemetery, Camden, Islington, to bury the body. And it's striking, isn't it, as you walk through a cemetery, just that reminder that death isn't ultimate. You sit there and you see all the gravestones about all these people who've lived and died. There is something brutal reality as putting a coffin in a grave and saying those ashes to ashes words. These are some of the words we said. For God, who knows of what we are meant, he remembers that we are but dust. Our days are like the grass. We flourish like a flower of the field. When the wind goes over it, it is gone, and its place will know it no more. Please be honest, death is a reality, even if it may seem a long way away. But here is Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. If you believe in me, verse 40, you will have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. A very wonderful truth of what Jesus is offering. So I think, what is the alternative the world offers? What does the world say? Where will we get satisfaction? So the world says we'll be satisfied if we have a good job, a nice house, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a second home, a dog. I don't know. There's lots of things our world is telling us that will bring us true satisfaction. But actually the Bible says they won't. The Bible says only Jesus can truly satisfy, because we're made for him, not for those other things. And what's more, those things do not have the answer to death, do they? This food that endures, Jesus himself, has the answer to death, because he is promising resurrection life. So let's go back to where we started. Jesus says, don't work for food that spoils. Don't bother living your life for the things of this world. Don't make those the most important, because they're going to spoil. Work for the food that endures. What is that food? It's Jesus. How do we get it? All we need to do is believe in him. These are very wonderful truths, aren't they? If you're here and you're following Jesus, keep going. Remember them, delight in them. These are very wonderful things. If you're here and you're not sure about your Christian faith, can I encourage you to hear Jesus' words? Do not work for food that spoils. Instead, work, believe in him and have the food that endures. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this bit of John's Gospel. Thank you that Jesus is the bread of life. Thank you that he is the one who brings true spiritual satisfaction in this life. Thank you that he is the one who has, who offers eternal life and resurrection life. I say, please help all of us here to keep looking to the Lord Jesus, trusting him, believing in him, and confident in all that he has given us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.